Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder whether you can remember the film made in 1996 or thereabouts, released, Miracle on 34th Street. Vaguely. Some of you vaguely can remember it. It was a story around... it's at David Attenborough as Santa Claus, and he lands up being Santa Claus in this film, and it's around Coles, I think, which is a big department store. Anyway, just keep that in mind. It's just at the back of your mind, because one of the main players is a cynical businesswoman who's raised her six-year-old, or however old she was, to be equally cynical about Christmas. And the miracle that occurs within that story. And of course, the first miracle actually within that story happens right at the beginning of the film, when David Attenborough becomes Father Christmas for the film, having, you know, disciplined rather severely a retrobrate Father Christmas, who was a shame to the whole Father Christmas industry. So keep that in mind, because next week I'm going to play you a clip from the film, but not this week, sorry about that. But I do have the film, so anybody wants to watch it and wants, you know, a bit of tearjerker, a bit of a, you know, sweet story, can watch that. But over the Christmas Advent season, I want to explore the and experience something of the miracle of Christmas. It's too easy to get so wrapped up in the activity of the season that we miss the miracle. And we who have been in church for so many years and are so familiar with the story can just simply, out of the basis of familiarity, actually miss something of the richness of what God has done. So firstly today, Jesus came at the right moment. In Galatians 4:4, as we heard in our reading, when the time was right, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. When the time was right, at just the right time, God sent his son. And that represents the miracle of the moment. But the reality is, most people miss the miracle. At the time, they did not recognize the significance of Jesus' birth. People were too busy to pay attention to a young girl giving birth to her first child out in a farm shed. Now, what amazes me, and recently we were at a conference where this was just sharpened as someone talked about this. So I've become amazed. The whole story of the incarnation, how vulnerable God made himself, trusting his son and his purposes to the fragile development of a baby in a womb, of a young, vulnerable girl, barely a teenager. And to have a baby born, that baby born, in a crude space that was riddled with danger and disease. Yet God did. Now, we in our age are not familiar, as familiar in our culture, with the mortality rate of children and mothers. You've got to wind your clock back, you know, a couple of thousand years. In fact, you don't even have to go back that far to actually understand the extraordinary mortality rate, the whole risk involved. And yet God did that at a risky time and in a risky space. For you and me. I find that extraordinary. And it still amazes me that God views you and me with the same trust that he invested in Mary. How can I even contemplate turning my back on such love and commitment that is there for each one of you and me? At just the right time in history, Jesus was born. His coming into the world was not a matter of chance or coincidence. His coming was part of God's divine plan, set out before the foundation of the world. Historians tell us that the Roman world was in great expectation, waiting for a deliverer at the time Jesus was born. The old religions were dying. The old philosophies were empty and powerless to change lives. Strange new mystery religions were invading the empire. Religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere, and God was preparing the world for the arrival of his son, says Warren Wisby. From a historical perspective, the Roman Empire had helped prepare the world for this moment. They had constructed roads that connected city to city, making travel easier. The world was at peace under Roman rule. Roman laws protected the citizens, and Roman soldiers guarded the peace. Thanks to both the Greek and Roman conquest, Latin and Greek was known across the empire, making for easy communication. The Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah were completed. At the right time, God sent his son. Secondly, God provides at the right moment. Now, many are okay about going through the motions of Christmas. I mean, we see it all the time. We see it in the media. We see it down the shops. You know it in your own lives and families. Sort of more or less okay. And they will put up with the busy activity of the season without ever experiencing the miracle of Christmas. But for some, however, the season will need a miracle. Life has become too expensive, too fragile and meaningless. What is the point of it all? The good news is that God comes to us at the right time with what we need for the moment. Listen to these promises of God from Psalm 145. Everyone depends on you, God. And when the time is right, you provide them with food. And Deuteronomy 11, I will provide rain for your land in the proper time, the autumn and spring rains, and you will harvest your grain, new wine and oil. God knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what we need. At the right time, he will come to us and provide what we need for the moment. Whilst this timing is a mystery, and it's a complete mystery at times to me, at the end of the day, I have learned that it's always best. I could have perhaps thought I did it better, but there are a whole bunch of stuff that I haven't been aware of and taken into account. And maybe part of the timing is actually to do with me and not being in the space that I need to receive all that mercy of God has got for me. The tragedy, however, is that though God is right there, some refuse to look, to reach out, to take hold of the help and the strength he will give. Sometimes pain blocks out the possibilities, and when this happens, they feel alone and powerless. At such times, the rest of us need to be there and be strong for them. It's actually what community's about. That one, when one is not doing well, that the rest gather around to support them through. For the truth is, God not only came at the right time, he continues to come at the right time when we need him most. Paul wrote, for while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. When do we need a miracle? When there are no more options, no more resources. When we're in a position to receive the miracle from God. He has promised to come at the right time and provide what we need for the moment. When we are utterly helpless, Jesus still comes to us today. And thirdly, God says, now is the right moment. It seems we're always waiting for the right time to do something. We're waiting for the right time to make a commitment, to make that commitment and that choice, perhaps, to be a follower of Jesus. Or maybe we've been waiting for the right time to give up a bad habit. And you've heard me say this before. The problem with bad habits is that we fluff around with them. And we drop the H and we've still got a bit. We drop the HA and we've still got a bit. We drop the B and we've still got it. When we drop the I, we're left with the cross. And we all get caught up in habits, don't we? They take apparently 21 occurrences or days to establish and take 21 years to break. Oh, no. And sometimes, of course, we like the habit, don't we? Whatever it might be. Even though if we know it's not good for us. Paul again wrote, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. And here is the point. Now is the right time. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Now is the right time to make that commitment. Now is the time to recommit that to your marriage, to your family, to your children, maybe to your neighbor, maybe to your work. Now is the time to renew your relationship with God. The right time is now. One moment in time can determine an eternity, eternal destiny. Right now is such a moment. I wonder, will you recognize the moment for what it truly is? A miracle. Don't put off that commitment you need to make today, because now is the moment. None of us have any idea what the next moment will bring. None of us. Now is the moment. Margaret Storm Jamieson, an English author, once expressed the view that we all spend too much time living in the past, feeling regret for lost joys or shame for things badly done. And even when we turn our minds to the future, she said, we spend an inordinate amount of time longing for it or dreading it. The only way to live, she said, is to accept each minute as an unrepeatable miracle. Work at your work, play at your play, shed your tears, enjoy your laughter. Now is the time of your life. Now is the moment. God comes at the right time and at the right moment. And now is the moment for us. Lord God, we hear your challenge. We're just so mindful as we enter into the Advent season. And it points us towards the fact that you will come again, and we must be ready. And now is the moment to be ready. Just take a moment to just think about your life and the commitments you make, the relationships you have, the people whom you love, who you haven't talked to in a long time. But above all, your God is just longing for you. Spend time with him. To know him. Know the certainty he can bring you. Longs that you'd make that choice, that you'd spend eternity with him, and not without him. Lord God, help us to make the yes choices of the moment. And keep coming to us, O God, as you promise. Help us to see you in the moment, to grasp all that you give to us, and know that at the end of the day, it is you that matters above all else. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.